You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
It's the first time that Apple have actually decided to tell people about something that they're developing.
High-speed broadband, let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
The three main spamming countries are the United States, China, and South Korea.
And I've got some residual powers.
Sounds like something out of Harry Potter.
Senator Coonan, the voice of reason.
There's a couple of systems on a gantry that's actually based on a military missile tracking system.
You put the date on ePray, and you get a whole service.
How does it go?
IE7, you were having trouble installing it because you had a genuine copy of Windows that wouldn't validate properly. What did you have to do to get past that?
Built a new machine.
But how hard can it be?
No, it's not hard at all.
At the end of the day, the photography is all about the person's eye and what they see.
If you find something that's inappropriate about your child, you need to do something about it because it will not go away.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tech Talk Radio. I'm your host, Andrew McComb. This week, if you didn't know it, it's e-security week. In these days of phishing, credit card fraud and email nasties, the Australian government has a new initiative called e-security week. In an effort to protect individuals and small businesses of the perils of today's online world, the government has launched a new website in an effort to educate users in four main areas titled Securing Your Computer, Small Businesses Safe Online, Smart Transacting Online, and Kids Safe Online. There's no software to download, no hard-earned cash to part with, it doesn't even ask for personal information. The staysmartonline.gov.au website is a reference for parents, teachers and business owners to help make the best of what the internet has to offer. The online world is fraught with danger, not unlike today's real world when you step outside the front door. There really isn't any difference except that when we go outside, we know how to behave and what to look out for. For example, we don't walk across a busy road without looking left, then right, then left again. Why? Because that's what we were taught when we were young. We know not to go into certain parts of town by ourselves or unaccompanied. The same can be said when we wander into the online world. If we know what to look out for and what not to do, there is no reason why our online experience can't be enjoyable. Stay Smart Online is the new teacher for the technological era. Online transactions are here to stay, and, like the demise of the old banking practices, we'll see more and more old-fashioned methods of transaction become extinct, with banks and businesses turning to the online world for almost all financial dealings. If you know what to do and how to do it, it's perfectly safe. The e-security initiative by the federal government is a commendable approach in helping all Australians, young and old, get online and stay safe when doing so. No longer can anyone at any age ignore the internet. They would do so at their own peril.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
Telstra slams bogus broadband report. The government launches an alert service to kick off e-security week. We take a look at Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference. Queensland Police net online fraudsters and the new Firefox 3 tryout is launched. First up, here's the latest happenings from the Tech Talk News Desk with Dr. Ron.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, Apple fans predict the launch of the next iPhone Monday this week. Telstra slams bogus broadband report. NASA offers land for the building of the next Googleplex. This week's Patch Tuesday is set to be a biggie, and printers, copiers and fax machines could be the weakest link in the security chain. Welcome to Tech Talk News. Well, depending on where and when you're listening to Tech Talk News, the wait is probably just about over. On Monday the 9th of June, Apple's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Steve Jobs, is expected to unveil the new 3G iPhone. The only hint from Apple is that on Monday, at the opening of its Worldwide Developers Conference in San Francisco, the keynote address will be given by a team of Apple executives led by CEO Steve Jobs. When the original iPhone was launched a year ago, it was targeted at users in the United States on GSM phone networks before being released in Europe. The new version is expected to utilize 3G technology to keep abreast of modern phone networks. But Apple has given nothing away about the new iPhone. features, pricing, and, up until very recently, sales partner information has remained under wraps. Industry analysts expect that if the new iPhone is announced this week, that it's likely it won't be available in the United States until later in the month. In Australia, the device is unlikely to be available until the launch of the Apple Store in Sydney, the date of which is also open to conjecture. Most believe that this is likely to be Thursday, the 19th of June. Optus and Vodafone have both announced in the last few weeks that they've signed up as Apple resellers for the new iPhone. Australia's largest telco has lashed out at a report which says consumers would pay up to 15% more for broadband services if it wins the right to operate the new national broadband network. Telstra spokesperson Ms. Kate McKenzie described the report as a sham and bogus and went on to say that the report could not possibly make such an assertion because we don't know what the cost is. The report, entitled Telstra Return on a National Fibre to the Node Network, Community Impacts, was conducted by the Centre for International Economics, an independent economic consultancy group. The report was commissioned by the Competitive Carriers Coalition, comprised of Telstra rivals including Macquarie Telecom, iiNet and Transact. The report also hypothesised that a network based on Telstra's cost estimates would increase inflation, reduce national growth, lower wages and reduce national consumption. Internet search giant Google has signed a 40-year lease with NASA to secure land for its new Googleplex in 2013. The massive office complex will be built on a US government research site near Google's existing Silicon Valley headquarters and is expected to accommodate thousands of workers to be hired in the future. Google's payroll of nearly 20,000 employees is expected to continue to grow, and the new office space is desperately needed as the company runs out of room at its existing headquarters. Google expects to start the final phase of the campus in 2022. This week's Patch Tuesday is set to be a big one, with Microsoft readying fixes for flaws in Bluetooth connectivity, its flagship Internet Explorer web browser, and DirectX components. Microsoft's latest security bulletin, Advance Notification, was issued last Thursday and includes moderate, important, and critical updates for both the Windows XP and Vista operating systems. Other issues expected to be addressed in Tuesday's automatic updates are problems with WINS, Microsoft's Windows Naming Service, issues with Active Directory, the Windows Network Management System, and also PGM, a Microsoft Multicast Transport Protocol. The updates will be released 1 week after the president of Microsoft's Platforms and Services Division, Mr. Kevin Johnson, admitted that the company's Live brand for search and online services leaves much to be desired. Mr. Johnson made the comments at a search advertising conference in Seattle last Tuesday when asked about the company's unsuccessful $47.5 billion takeover bid for Yahoo. And printers, copiers, and fax machines could be the weak link in many companies' cyber defences, according to the European Union's Information Security Agency. In a report released on Tuesday last week by the European Network and Information Security Agency, experts warned that companies are often unaware of the dangers posed by devices that are connected to corporate networks and, in turn, connected to the Internet. These devices, they said, could be used by criminals to penetrate networks or view stored documents. The agency also advised companies to take physical security precautions to prevent unauthorized people gaining access to documents or data cartridges. A survey of 350 companies in France, Germany and Britain found awareness of the risks was low. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
And here we are again. Olympic organisers have announced that everyone attending the opening ceremony
is going to be microchipped.
Basically, the system was first used for international bidding on coffee crops, would you believe?
Don't you need a SIM card in the phone?
Not to take pictures, no.
No?
And you can SMS them to the emergency operators too.
Good. Oh, that's great.
That's probably a reason for
that. In an Australian first, Telstra recently showed a hologram to beam its chief technology officer live into Adelaide from Melbourne to talk to a major function.
So if you've got a product like that,
I'm going to talk about your favourite company and their warranty. So what's to say that I'm not who I say I am and I get on board?
Bit of common sense, people, please.
Wonder what their mobile broadband offering's like.
Damn iTunes. Damn it to hell, I say.
When you switch on your GPS, you do not switch off your brain.
Well, that's even worse if it's gone back to Sydney and it's got that sort of downtime.
Let me tell you, high-definition television and Blu-ray, there's no comparison.
Yeah, look over here, look over here. Don't look at Vista, look over here.
Exactly, we've bypassed Vista completely. Yeah. We've gone to the next operating system.
Entertaining, informative and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Gee, it sounded like a fun show last week, didn't it? Hello, everybody. Andrew McComb here from Tech Talk Radio. And the crew is here this evening, sitting in across in front of me in the panel. JD from left to right, because you can see them all on your radio. JD from left to right. Dr. Ron in the middle. And Dr. Graham Callaghan on the very end. Good afternoon, good evening, hello, good morning to you all, gentlemen, wherever you might be listening to us.
And it's all we've got time for, so thanks for tuning in. It sounded like a bit of a wrap-up,
Ben. Did I?
No, not at all. How are you, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, look, alive and kicking is alive and cooking is taking its toll from me at the moment, but we're here, we're struggling on, but it's all good. Television program, go and have a look if you're in Wynn land or Channel 9 land, you can see it's a cooking show.
You've been full on production mode.
Absolutely, yeah. 5 shows a week, half an hour of television a day, and then we do this as well, just for a bit of fun.
I've got a surprise for you this week.
Have you? You gave me a surprise last week too.
And you're still recovering.
Yeah.
We've got a virtual panellist this week. Yes, we've got a cyber goddess in Silicon Valley who's joining us via the Twitter device.
Picking up his phone as he says,
waving it at you, waving it at your head. Yes, so Lyd's tuning in. She's staying up till 3 a.m. and listening live to the stream.
Mad.
She is. That's why they call her Mad Lyd.
Absolutely. Hello, Lyd. Happy birthday, Lydia, by the way, too. She turns old enough to know better today.
Oh.
So she's, yes, but no, Lydia is our little goddess over there in Silicon Valley. In
I wonder
heart.
If she's staying up late or has got up early.
I don't know. Well, if she's on Twitter, she'll twitch.
She'll come tell on. Us.
Watch.
Let me hit refresh. You talk amongst yourselves and I'll hit refresh.
This is the problem with these devices. Yes, Dr. Ron's now furiously moving his thumb over his keypad on his phone.
Beep, 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 beep. Come on, have
does
a squawk.
Have you got a tweet sound on your phone?
Dr. Ron, Dr. Graham, does this mean I'm going to be Dr. Lyd? It could mean you're going to be Dr. Lyd.
Dr. Lyd.
You never know.
She won't talk to me on the telephone, so you consider yourself exceptionally lucky.
Really?
Yeah, no, she's not taking my calls at the moment.
So. Oh, okay.
Maybe it's because, I don't know, she's going to sell her house over there in Palo Alto, so Google can expand a bit more there. They're looking for new properties. Oh,
they're buying up the entire suburb, are they?
Oh, something like that in Palo Alto.
That was in the news. They're doing a deal with NASA, and they're using some space that NASA's got at some secret
missile
base.
They haven't fallen for that land on the moon scam, have they?
Well, when I heard the start of that article, I thought they were going to put it on the moon.
Yeah. It's a 40-year lease, and they expect to start the final phase of the construction in 2022. What was your comment, Andrew?
So they're planning ahead.
They need to.
They'd have a pirate satellite station, couldn't they?
Yeah, I guess they could.
A US government research site. There we are. Anywhere near Area 51.
The say that it's on land?
Could be in Nevada somewhere.
Could be.
they did have an April Fool's thing a while back about a Google complex being built on the moon.
So, yes, they did. Yeah. Mm. You never can tell. You don't know what's real with Google and what's not.
No.
I don't know. Google's
an ambitious company.
They are indeed doing a lot of very interesting things. Now, you've got some you've got some notes, letters from some listeners over there. Correspondence in.
We've had
check the in-tray. What have we got this
indeed,
week, Dr. Ron?
We've had lots of good feedback from people. The Tech Talk Radio Facebook group now has 8 members.
Crikey.
Not
me.
No, you're not. Everyone's saying, where's Andrew and where's Graham? And JD's been watching, I think, from afar, but hasn't joined
very
it
very far, yes.
From very far.
So but you're our Facebook representative, Dr. Ron. You know, I've seen your Facebook profile.
Just as Graham's our forum person and Lyd's our Twitter person. So if you have a Facebook account you'd like to join up, then search for Tech Talk Radio with spaces in the groups search facility in your Facebook account. You'll see a little logo there and you'll know it's us.
Who are they? Do you know who they are? Or are they hiding anonymously behind white caps with Tech Talk Radio on them?
No, they're not.
Like two of the panelists are the same.
Not hiding anonymously behind anything. You can see who they are, and some of them have added me as a friend, which is very nice. So join in if you'd like to. Now, there's new forum users as well. Hello to Mike Ryan from Macquarie Park in New South. Hello to Ardwick, I think it's pronounced, or Ardwich, A-R-D-W-Y-C-H, who's joined the forum. And also Damien, also known as Bloke on a Rock, who's a new forum user.
G'day, welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard. forum.techtalkradio.com.au. Some feedback from Adam Turner, who says in relation to our discussion last week about Transact, we incorrectly said Transact was using fibre to the node, I think.
Yeah, VHDSL.
That's the one.
Last mile.
The VHDSL for the last mile. Vodafone's HSDPA coverage, says Adam, is very patchy compared to Telstra and 3. I'm using Vodafone's 5 gig for $39 deal, and I've never seen it reach anywhere near HSDPA speeds, even in the heart of Melbourne and Sydney.
Adam, you should know better.
Indeed. Three's city-wide coverage seems to be much better than Vodafone, but Vodafone has a wider coverage footprint.
Yeah, but it's not everywhere you need it.
In patches all over the place.
That's right.
The thing. Vodafone HSDPA also roams onto Vodafone 3G and Vodafone GPRS, so you'll never get stung for roaming charges. Three roams onto NextG, which is bloody expensive, he says, and yes, it is very
expensive. A kilobyte or something, I don't know. It's something ferocious like that.
It's ferocious.
They know how to charge. Oh, well, yes, we'll be hearing from Adam a little bit later on in the program too. He's got himself lost this week and all will be revealed fairly shortly.
Can we have a couch from him?
Oh, yes.
Good.
He's lost on the couch.
Oh.
Figuratively speaking.
What, in the GPS system, Graham?
Yes. Don't get me started. I was going to try and be nice and relaxed this week and not rant at anybody.
Yes, absolutely. All right, now I've got some sad news to start off with this Tech Talk Radio this evening. This came in on the wire today from Australian IT News. A dog trained to sniff out pirate discs from a Malaysian unit that has faced threats from criminals has been found dead.
The dog has been found dead.
The dog has been unceremoniously been... This is a dog, a trained dog, designed to sniff out pirated discs.
Oh, dear.
The New Straits Times said that Manny, a one-year-old golden Labrador, which arrived in Malaysia in February, died about a week ago, and that authorities were trying to determine how the dog died. Manny's body has been sent for a post-mortem, but they're treating the death as suspicious.
Mmm.
So there you go. That's what sniffer dogs.
Sniffer dogs for pirate discs.
I wonder what they smell.
Yeah, how do they know the contents?
Maybe pirates. Maybe printering.
Maybe it'll be something like that, won't it?
Well, that's the only thing it could be, because everything else is just a polyurethane plastic sort of...
smell.
Yeah. And everyone has CDs in there. Well, that's... when you think about it, everyone walking through an airport's probably got a CD which has been printed in a printer or something. That could be interesting.
It's a bit
sad, I guess maybe it's on quantity or something along those lines.
Wonder if you had a dog book account.
Now, the other interesting bit of news too, Amazon, one of the world's largest online websites, selling everything and everything, had a bit of a computer glitch.
Right.
So things aren't travelling too well over there for poor old Amazon. Their website experienced problems in North America for more than 2 hours on early Saturday mornings because of this alleged glitch. Shortly after 10 a.m, the company's retail website shut down, giving an error code to anyone visiting, according to one of the Keynote Systems in California. They're a website-based performance company. So if you're doing some shopping on Amazon at the moment, it could be a bit tricky. Have you ever bought anything on Amazon? When you think about the amount of traffic, it's probably the largest website in the world, which carries sort of like online commerce. They were the very pioneers of online shopping.
My wife swears by Amazon for books. She's currently doing a writing course, and she orders pretty much all of her textbooks online from Amazon and gets them here, shipped internationally cheaper than buying them local.
I believe that with books. Yeah, I would. Even a email from a French listener as we speak. Hello. News agency Reuters informs about not too working capacity of site Amazon.com. I won't continue with his French typed English, but thank you from Baldwin, who's listening at .fr. A long way away from here.
It is.
Speaking of people a long way away from here, Adam Turner has chirped up about Twitter. He says, Twitter, brilliant. I've always been frustrated by the lag on email during the show and was thinking about asking if I could IM you instead. Oh, these trendy people. instant messaging you instead of the show. Twitter works well with Lid. Maybe I can try it one night.
Lid says that's the thing that sucks with Facebook, the need to register to join. So she's talking about us. Yes, you have to register to belong to the group, to participate in the Tech Talk Radio group.
Yes. I think that is one of the downsides of Facebook, really, isn't it? Because just another organisation where you have to go and chip in and give your details and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, you touched early on in the news, Dr. Ron, about Telstra slamming a bogus broadband report. Telstra rejected a report that says consumers will pay 15% more for broadband services if Telstra wins the right to operate the new national network.
Yeah, Telstra thinks the results are bogus. The actual survey itself isn't bogus. It's a legitimate survey.
Absolutely.
They just don't like what it found.
I think it's actually bogus too. I think people will pay probably 30% more if Telstra wins.
Oh, you think they're underestimating?
I think they're underestimating. I really do. So it's the monopoly. Look at what the rest of the world is dealing with at the moment with their broadband. Things are flying, going a hell of a lot faster than some of the things over here. But like Graham got on the GPS bandwagon last week, I'm not going to get onto the
fraud band thing here.
The fraud band bandwagon.
I actually had the pleasure of chatting to Carol Whitelock on ABC Radio the other day, last Friday actually, and we were talking about congestion on the broadband. There's a lot of speculation that things are only going to get worse if governments and telcos don't actually pull their finger out and put in higher performance or bigger pipes between countries and continents and things like that. And, yeah, it's true. If you've ever tried downloading stuff out of mainland America and things like that, the speeds you get are really, really ordinary, especially late at night when everybody in this country is surfing the net. And then feel sorry for the Tasmanians. Oh, my goodness. They're on a more micro scale about what we're probably going to suffer in the mainland in the not-too-distant, too.
Hmm.
Especially as rich media becomes more and more popular, and everyone just wants it. Like, you know, the website that I'm doing for Live and Cooking, it's got recipes on it, video. You can go and see it. You can't, they get a bit steppy over here in Australia at night, but during the daytime they're fine. So, you know, there it is. Examples in action.
When you look at the situation with Tasmania, they do have a very limited number of high-speed links between themselves and the mainland. It's the same with Australia and the rest of the world. All the traffic in and out of the country is actually going via, what do you reckon, Graham? Probably half a dozen high-speed links in different directions.
Yeah, at most. I think it was 4 or 5, yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. And unless the government takes an active interest and is serious about...
Is it a job for government, though, or is it a job for ISPs to provide interlinks?
Well, you have to ask the question, is it a job for government to be concerned about infrastructure? Do they need to be concerned about roads? Do they need to be concerned about electricity supply, gas supply, internet? Internet is a utility like anything else in this day and age.
But we've got ISPs, private companies. The large ISPs in Australia already have their own capacity on the international links.
So I don't think that the government should be relying on private ISPs to be maintaining infrastructure coming in and out of the country for something which is essentially
a utility
that we all need to be connected to.
The Rudd government's looking at this $4.7 billion contribution to fibre to the node broadband in this country, mm-hmm. of which they're going to become a bit of a major owner. You know, they're not giving it solely to a telco, which I think is potentially a good thing. But they do. They have to look a little bit further afield or look at JVs with other countries, you know, Australia and the United States or any other European organisation.
Yeah, the fibre to the node, though, it's a different issue because that last bit of copper or that last bit of, you know, underground space, you know, between the telephone exchange and your house, that's kind of a natural monopoly. You can't have everybody having, you know, their own bit of wire going from their own exchange to your house.
No, that's true.
So, but whereas the international links, you know, a company independent of government can lay down cable, can sell capacity to ISPs on both sides of the link, and
I look too true.
It can all be done by private enterprise, and it is being done. There are projects like that going on at the moment, so...
Yes, 12 megabits, though, I think is going to be quite old and outdated by the time it even actually kicks in, though. That's a personal opinion.
Well, yeah, this is the ongoing problem.
That's what the Australian government is benchmarking as what every household should have, but they didn't say when. Now it's probably good. 2 years' time, probably bad. Anyway, we'll see what happens. And, of course, that's being stalled and stalled and stalled too, but that's for another time. The government this week has launched the eSecurity Week and a new website to boot. I don't know whether any of you guys have had a little bit of a look at it or anything like that.
I saw it in our show notes that came out this morning. Mm-hmm. You had a reference to it, I think.
Yeah, staysmartonline.gov.au. If you have people who have no idea, people who are unsure or insecure about using the internet, this is a place to go a bit of a ready reckoner. Now, it's not the ants pants to everything, but it's a really good place to start. And I guess everyone says you can't always believe what you read on the internet, but when it comes from a government, then potentially there's a little bit more credibility there than what you would get if you or I did it, or a school, or a party such as a software house, or one of those antivirus companies, because they always seem to want to peddle their own wagons when it comes to that, push their own wagons. But in this instance, I think there's been a group of companies that have come together, including companies like eBay and McAfee's, Microsoft, Sophos, Symantec and Telstra, and they've all chipped in their few cents worth and come up with a document which is not too bad. Good educational service for anyone who's interested and who's unsure about the internet, because there are still a lot of people who are very scared about it. and just don't want to get online because they just, oh no, it's all too scary. But these days, you have to. Look at banking. As I said in the opener of the show, you know, if you're not doing internet banking very shortly, then chances are you're not going to be doing banking, are you?
That's why it's all going online. As people are, well, banks are closing branches and they're sending stuff offshore. Yeah, more and more has been done electronically, like it or not.
But even still, you know, I think everyone should be online anyway, regardless, because it's what it's all about these days. Adam, another email. Apparently Optus is working tonight. Everyone can hear the stream on
through
their Optus services, which is very reassuring.
Now, we've changed nothing, have we?
No, not a cracker. Not a cracker. Someone else had a go at me about the feeds the other night, and I said, were you on Optus? They said, yes. Say no more. But anyway, having said that, everyone has bad nights, everyone has good nights when it comes to their ISPs.
Speaking of bad ISPs...
Oh, yes.
Yes, I've got a gripe about my ISP at the moment, which is AANet.
Oh, yes, what have they done to upset you, Dr. Ron?
They've changed my plan without telling me. Not only have they changed my plan, they've started charging me $20 more a month, so I'm now paying...
Have you read the fine print? Were they allowed to do that?
Well, they reckon that they are, because if they want to make a change like that, they just change the fine print and then do it. So they're now charging me...
Sounds like a really big telco that we all know.
Yeah, well, they're now charging me $100 a month. And my 24 gig plan has gone overnight to a 40 gig plan. So what I'm going to do with 40 gig, I don't know. But I emailed them and said...
Adam will give you some tips.
He will, won't he? We can download some Windows updates for an operating system I don't use anymore or something. Yes. You see that little send receive icon ticking around there.
Absolutely. So, yeah, 40 gig a month.
Yeah, so I emailed them and said, what's the story, Rory? And they said, well, oh, it's, you know, terms and conditions, we can do this. And the plan you're on no longer made financial sense to us. So as out of a courtesy to you, we've waived the plan upgrade fee, which was very big-hearted of them, I thought. We're not going to charge you an extra $20 to do this, but now you're paying... $100 a month.
So is this prepaid, or did you find out after?
I found out after they'd actually billed my credit card.
That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
It's a bit rude, so I'm contemplating at the moment doing a charge back on the credit card and asking everyone in the studio here tonight what their preferred ISP is at the moment, because I don't like what they've done. The plan they've taken me off is gone.
My preferred ISP I can't get where I am, which is very frustrating.
If I want to go back to the usage that I had before, if I want to go back to the 24 gig, I've actually got to go down to, I think it's like 14 gig for the same price I was paying previously. So they've completely screwed everything for me. Something has to be done. Graham, what am I going to do?
Yeah, look around for another ISP. There's plenty of them around.
Vote with my feet. Someone will have a plan I need.
Yeah.
All right.
Does that mean we have to change all our IP addresses again? Oh, goodness me.
No, not the service that I'm going to change, no.
Email from Michael Fields. Adam Turner is right. Might be a good idea to send comments to the show using Twitter. What's Dr. Ron's username?
Oh. Yeah. this could be inviting disaster. I'll tell you what my username is. I don't use it very often, and I've actually blogged about... my difference of opinion with Twitter and why I prefer to use Facebook. But if you'd like to tweet at me, RK, which is R for Roger and K for Kilo, 5075. That's the alias I'm using at the moment, RK5075.
That's tonight's alias, isn't it?
That's tonight's one. It'll now be completely useless.
Now, what's the plan on your phone before you do that?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
with Telstra. Oh, no.
Maybe I have to buff up the plan on my phone, yeah. There we go.
Goodness me. Another email from Adam Turner. Conroy says he's open to running wireless from the node to cover the last mile. Cuts out the Telstra copper. There you go, Graham.
Yeah, well, I've said my piece about using wireless as the primary means of delivery too.
Oh, yes, good.
Can you imagine if every house in suburban Melbourne had the link to the internet was on a wireless link? Can you imagine the bandwidth problems you'd have?
Aren't you saying every individual?
Yeah.
Well,
walking around the streets.
Every house in suburban Melbourne's got a mobile phone, or three.
Four, actually, I think in the last survey. We got more mobile phones per head of population than anyone in the world.
Well, that only adds to the problem, doesn't it? Doesn't make it any better.
You're probably right. You think it's a capacity issue, though, don't you? You don't think that...
Well, bandwidth is a scarce resource, and I think that in some of these debates that we forget that. Wireless, you know, radio bandwidth.
It is. It can be used for better things like television and radio
And when you can't connect to a network via copper, I guess.
Yeah, besides, wireless links are never as reliable or, you know, as a link on a cable or a fibre.
That's right. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Dr. Ron, Graham Callaghan, JD's in tonight. We're going over already and we haven't even started. Just some more emails. Lots of people sending us emails via the website, feedback@techtalkradio.com.au. Simon Templer says, although I have not registered with Facebook, the good thing about the registration process for any forum is accountability and reputation. Just look how Usenet has declined with no registrations and anonymous posts that just attack people abound. There you go. Do you have to register for Twitter? You have to log on and join, don't you?
Then you have to log on and join
to your own thing. So
yep, correct.
All right. Yes.
Moving along. I want to see an enterprising person come up with a gateway, and I've blogged about this as well. We need to have all these different social networking sites with a common API or a common suite of development kits, so that I can nominate. If I update my status on Facebook, it's automatically updated on Twitter, and it's automatically updated on.
Now, I read somewhere that was it Facebook. I can't remember which one of the social networking sites is now going to allow you to link it from another social networking site, so you can incorporate their content into your other page.
That's where it would start to become very useful.
Then it'll implode on itself
and pull in the
It'll be like the TARDIS. It'll be bigger on the inside.
With a bit of luck, that's the goal. But link it to all the instant messaging systems as well. So if Graham logs on to Yahoo, then I see him log on to my Facebook notifications.
And I'm in iChat over here.
Yeah, exactly. And if JD's in iChat, then Lid sees him in Twitter, and that's all just one big happy family. That would be great.
Researchers map out the web's badlands. Do you know where the web's badlands are? Where do you
Facebook,
not go after
Twitter.
Dark?
Everyone comes out after dark, don't
they? That's right. Domains in Hong Kong, China and the Philippines have been named the most potentially dangerous on the internet. A recent report by security firm McAfee found that three nations had the highest percentage of malicious sites within their domain suffixes. Roughly 19% of all sites ending with the .hk suffix pose some sort of security threat. The second place was China's .cn with 11%. Posing the same type of security risk. So there you go. Don't go to any Olympic Games sites with .cn on the end of them. You'll be fished before you know it. Well, if you haven't got your microchip, of course.
Do we know what the official Olympic Games site is? He asks.
No, don't.
Question without notice.
We've got to be out there's by now. There's four laptops and four people in the studio. What's the problem, Dr. Ron?
We've got our best minds on the job.
Here's something really good for radio. Put your hand up if you're not connected to the internet.
Our operators are standing by.
www.olympic.org.
There you go.
Graham's got it.
Absolutely.
So
before I even put the piece of paper down.
So nothing.cn is official.
I don't know. I wouldn't know about that. I'm sure there's
they'll have things
local
like,
sites.
Absolutely, local sites and things like that. Mm. Anyway, there you go, the Badlands. Hong Kong, China and the Philippines. I think it's time we took a little bit of a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from Adam Turner, really, as opposed to being on the internet on the email next to us. He's going to be telling us about Lost, that television series, and he's just sent an email that says, downloading Lost in HD. Well, anyway,
Is it still going, that show?
Well, apparently...
Haven't they found their way off the island yet? I think I watched three episodes.
It's a bit like Gilligan's Island, isn't it?
It is Gilligan's Island.
As soon as they get 99%, there something happens. Something terrible happens, and that's the end of it. Anyway, listening to Tech Talk Radio, Dr. Ron, Graham Callaghan, Justin Dunlop, and Andrew McComb here on the radio panel tonight. Recently on Tech Talk Radio, we heard Ben-Hur Castro from Seagate in the United States talk about the new generation of portable hard drives, which not only backs up your files with the push of a button, it also password protects the contents of your drive. Not only does the MaxTor OneTouch 4 Plus provide backups, data storage and protection for your files, it also protects your entire computer system in case of disaster. Now for the good news. Thanks to MaxTor, Tech Talk Radio has a 1TB version of the OneTouch to give away to a lucky Tech Talk Radio listener. Anywhere in the world, value at $299. All you have to do is visit the Tech Talk Radio website and tell us in a few short words why you need 1TB of storage. How easy is that? We'll announce the winner on air on Monday the 16th of June. So what are you waiting for? Visit techtalkradio.com.au right now and you could be the proud owner of a 1TB OneTouch portable hard drive.
You're listening to
Talk. Any questions? You're all speechless at this.
No, it's not listening.
You've got the world's most aggressive spam filter.
Tick tock.
If you've got the wrong SIM card, it's because they sold you the wrong thing.
Tech Talk Radio. Talk Radio.
We may have digressed.
The network's probably ready for fiber to the node now.
Telstra has lost the ACCC court case.
They download loss because they can't stand watching on commercial television.
Call this talk to Tech Talk Radio.
As Graham puts the hat on, the Tech Talk Radio white beanie cap. We should put the webcam in. We'll see that one night very shortly.
If you want beanies as well, it's beanie weather.
It is beanie weather. It's very, very nippy where we are in the southern hemisphere over here. Welcome back, Tech Talk Radio, Andrew McComb. Dr. Ron, Graham Callaghan, JD here, and a few people twittering away to us as we speak. Dr. Ron, there's a suggestion in. What you should do with your 40 gig hard drive, 40 gig bandwidth is download Lost in High Definition. Guess who sent that one in?
Hello, Adam. Download Lost in High... I will be Lost in High Definition with that amount of bandwidth. It's a huge amount, isn't it?
Absolutely.
40 gig. What would you do with 40 gig?
You could send a lot of Twitters with that, couldn't you? He's on the phone, by the way, everybody. There was a question came in to... He's tweeting on the mobile device.
I'm tweeting on the mobile device. Now, Mad Lid in Silicon Valley says...
Happy birthday to Lid.
I take it you've never heard of Friend Feed. In response to me ranting about why isn't there a gateway application that combines all of these systems together. FriendFeed does that. It lets you see your friends everywhere, says Lid.
So I don't want to be seen everywhere.
But then that's another account we have to create, isn't it?
Yeah, we just had a quick look. There's a couple of dozen icons across the top of what it talks to. But you need to set up another account with it.
Graham's setting one up now.
So social networking.
No, I'm not. No.
It's just gone. It's just... I'm lost. Lost. Anyway, we'll talk about loss very shortly.
Put a pin in our Frapper map too, frapper.com /, Tech Talk Community, I think it is. I haven't looked for a while. Is that right?
Now,
something along those lines.
Let's just get back to the show for a minute. We've got a competition on which is drawing rapidly to a close. In fact, you've only got 1 week to go to stick your pin in the Frapper map. I mean, no, what's this one? To put your...
tweet on the face tubes.
That's tell the us one. Why you need a terabyte.
Thanks, Graham.
Yeah,
tell us why you need a terabyte. Come to our website. You can enter online. We've had lots of entries, but that doesn't mean that you don't not in it with a chance. So come and tell us a little bit about it. I still think one of the best reasons for wanting a terabyte is because someone said they'd run out of floppy disks.
That's a good reason.
I've had that problem.
Yes, last time I saw a floppy disk that actually worked was, I can't remember. All the ones you put them in, it's got bad sectors and all that sort of stuff. Oh, you've got them, have you?
My RetroMax all use them, yeah.
Oh, very good.
What size floppy disks, JD?
1.4 meg.
Of little ones.
So they're physically they're 3.5 inch.
3.5 inch, yes.
Do you have any 5.25 inch disks?
I do, for the old Apple II series. Yes.
Those really big black things.
Yep. No.
They're not really big ones.
Oh, no, they were the 8 inch ones, weren't they?
Oh, 7 inch.
Eight inch.
8-inch floppies, yeah.
Okay, tape, anyone?
No.
Showing my age here.
Well, current cards?
Current model tapes.
What about cassette?
Remember them?
I do remember.
TRS-80s?
Yes.
Showing our age now.
I used to work on... I used to work on telephone systems that used 8-inch floppy disks to load the operating system in the PABX, or what Americans call the PBX.
Yeah, we used to have a few 8-inch floppy disks floating around the office at work, just for fun of it, but yeah.
They don't believe in A in the United States.
Don't they?
No, they have operators.
Okay.
That answer your calls. They don't believe in the automatic part of PBX.
Okay, good.
They're like switchboard operators.
Hey, can we talk about Apple?
Yeah, let's talk about Apple.
I think it's time to put JD on the spot because there's
very
been
exciting.
So much gossip here. Say he's got pictures of alleged third generation iPhones and anyway, WWDC.
By the time you're listening to this,
it may some
very
it.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. There might be some big news.
Well, let's see how good your crystal ball is. Off you go. What's happening?
Okay, well, for those of you that haven't caught up, 2:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, Eastern Australian time.
There'll be a lot of people losing sleep. They'll all be up watching the...
Our time is when the Worldwide Developers Conference is being broadcast, and there's a few local feeds, and if I'm awake, I'll be having a look. I'll certainly be looking first thing in the morning if I'm not awake. All sorts of rumours about this particular conference. Steve's going to talk, no doubt, and have a Steve note.
Hang on, what will he be wearing?
Oh, black turtlenecks, skivvy, of course.
Of course, and white runners and these blue denim jeans.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Standard Steve Jobs uniform.
Correct. Send him a baseball cap.
Oh, well, there's a thought.
Good luck. All right, so the sorts of things...
You'll ring Adam Turner again, watch out.
The sorts of things people are talking about, iPhone version 2, the 3G version of the iPhone is being talked about.
There's even talk now about Snow Leopard, the OS 10.6.
Yeah.
But having a quick look, 10.5.4 has only just been released to developers to in beta, so it's unlikely they're going to go to 10.6, to be quite honest. And 10.5 was only released in October last year. It hasn't even been a year yet, so that's probably not likely, although there's a lot of banter about that at the moment, so who knows?
Well, 10.5 was allegedly a bit lame. A lame leopard, thanks to the manner of wireless and other minor issues.
A gammy leopard.
Yeah, the best way to move forward may well be to release a whole new leopard. Rumour has it that this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, but still, if you've just gone out and shelled out a few hundred dollars for a brand new operating system less than 12 months ago, and you're going to be asked to do the same thing just because they couldn't patch their wireless network, that's a pretty big ask.
It is. Is there any other benefits? Major things in 10.6?
The rumours, again, it's all on rumours, but there's absolutely no new applications in any of the grapevine rumours that are going around. It's just updates.
Okay.
So I'd like to think it's probably 10.5.4 that they're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. It is a developers conference, though, so it's likely they'll talk about operating systems and developer kits and that sort of thing.
Now, there's rumour that Mac's going to be ditching the PowerPC platform in 10.6 too.
That's also another rumour that's around. It's unlikely that they'll ditch PowerPC altogether. They'll probably ditch G4 because that's getting a bit old now. I still use it, which is a bit of a shame. But
there's another one that's going to be relegated to the no upgrade department.
Yeah,
is that right?
So the G5s are still around. They're 64-bit. It's unlikely they're going to drop them immediately because too many people have invested in audio-visual multimedia applications and aren't upgrading yet because they're not that old. But the stranger things have happened. Other discussions are around the .Mac replacement. Steve mentioned at his last Steve note that .Mac was underutilising its potential. And those of you that have been around the web will see the Mobile Me discussions. And there's some speculation that Apple have purchased the me.com domain name. So there's some speculation that there's going to be a me.com website likely to do all the types of things that .Mac do, which gives you online storage and photo albums and all that. But
they're going to have their own cloud.
Well, yes.
Everyone's getting in on the cloud.
That's the suggestion, that now they're going to do push email. So iPhone version 2 allegedly has Exchange built into it, or Exchange compatibility, so you can actually connect it to your Windows domain server that's running Exchange for email. But Apple needs
to
have their...
Talking to the dark side, too.
Yeah. But they might be learning a bit from that and building their own push email in .me.com, perhaps. Some other speculation that's just come out in the last 24 hours is a new Mac, the Mac Fusion. That's at the unofficial Apple weblog. For those of you that want to have a look at it, it looks like a half a Mac Mini, a bit like the Apple TV with a CD slot in the front of it. Most people are saying that that's a bit of a fake that's just been put up for the sake of it, and they're probably right. Again, because it's a developers conference, it's unlikely we're going to talk about mini devices at a developers conference. Usually it's the top-end machines and the top-end laptops that get released at these types of conferences.
Is there a way that people can watch the conference?
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, it's happening.
There is. If you're in Australia, I'd suggest you go to the site that I frequent and am looking at right now, which is mactalk.com.au. They're going to have an online discussion. They always do. I've tuned into a few of them in the past.
So what time is this? 2 o'clock tomorrow morning.
2:30 a.m. on the 10th of June, just tomorrow morning,
our
if
time.
You're listening to us live.
Yes, if you're listening to us live. If you're listening to us in other places, it happened a couple of days ago. You'll know all about this already.
You know more than we do now.
Yeah, absolutely. Send us an email.
Yeah. Oh, that's freaky.
They tend to put the major speeches up on their website to view, don't they?
They certainly do. You can usually download them. There is a suggestion that that Apple's going to do a live stream. But usually it's so heavily connected, it's almost impossible to see in Australia. But
yeah, so best to be looking a couple of days later anyway.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it. That's the update. What, one sleep to go? What are we? Yes, one sleep to go, and then we all will be revealed.
Oh,
and Sydney's starting for
sure. Go to sleep, yeah.
Yeah, what's the news on the Sydney
storm? Well, it's interesting. The speculation is 5 p.m. on the 19th of this month, so it's coming up soon.
Gee, they like to hold their cards close to their chest, don't they?
Well,
the Apple organisation.
There's been some interesting announcements on the web which have been repealed, have all been taken away, so I'm not quite sure what that means.
So the speculation, I think I said in the news, was Thursday week,
the
19th.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's not confirmed yet.
Well, it sort of was, and now it's not. I'm not quite sure what's going on there.
Hmm. All right, let's time for a view from the couch, I think. We'll catch up with Adam's latest sojourn. He's watching Lost in high definition, I think.
I'm
He's
downloading it now with my 40 gig.
Not from this location,
not,
you aren't.
On my mobile phone.
Oh, yeah, that'd be pretty pricey anyway. All right, a view from the couch. We'll be back with a post-mortem of the couch after this.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch on Tech Talk Radio.
Is Lost the biggest tease on television? I have to say, I contemplated voting myself off the island after the recent Series 4 finale. Thanks to a pocket of negatively charged exotic matter located behind my television, I managed to bend space and time to watch Lost series finale a few days before it screened locally. With time to mull it over, I reconciled myself to the fact I'll probably never learn the truth behind the black fog monster. Plenty of my friends have given up on Lost, and I can understand why. Every week it promises to deliver answers, but instead just bombards us with more questions. It's like the X-Files all over again. Half the enjoyment of good television is the anticipation. People enjoy being strung along, as long as there is a payoff at the end. The X-Files left viewers frustrated so many times that they eventually went off to find satisfaction elsewhere. I'd say Lost has fallen into the same track. It's not to say I don't like Lost, it's brilliant storytelling. I can't stomach old-school run-of-the-mill plots with no shades of grey between good and evil. Think back to the original Star Trek. Every week, good triumphed over evil, and the good guys could never die unless they were wearing a red shirt. Star Trek The Next Generation was little better. After 5 minutes, you could guess the entire plot. Thankfully, television sci-fi eventually found more complex characters. Think of Garak in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, or Londo Mollari in Babylon 5. Stick with me here if you're not a sci-fi fan. These weren't good guys or bad guys, they were three-dimensional characters doing their best to survive. Along with complicated characters, these two programs also raised the bar when it came to story arcs. Unlike The Adventures of James T. Kirk, not every plot thread was neatly resolved at the end of each episode. Instead, stories played out over months or years, and if you stuck with them, they made for compelling television. With its mixture of flash-forwards and flashbacks, Lost is quite possibly the most complicated story arc ever attempted in a television history. Obviously, this means you'll lose a few viewers along the way, but I think the writers need to put out a little more to avoid viewer frustration. There's little point in writing the world's greatest script if there's no one left watching by the end. According to the television guide, Lost doesn't even rate in the top 20 Australian most watched shows anymore. I think one of the reasons why I have more patience with Lost than I did with The X-Files is because I'm no longer at the mercy of the commercial television networks. I watch Lost when it suits me, without ads, and I can pause and rewind at any time to discuss plot twists with others in the room. It helps that I don't see any of the advertisements for next week's episode, or hear the lying voiceover at the end of the episode promising all the answers will be revealed next week, as they did with The X-Files. If I was watching Lost whenever Seven felt like showing it, I would have probably given it away by now as well. I don't think I'm alone here, as Lost is one of the most downloaded television shows on the major BitTorrent search engine IsoHunt. I doubt efforts to sync up broadcast times around the world is having much of an impact on this. People don't download Lost because they can't wait for it to be broadcast locally. They download Lost because they can't stand watching it on commercial television. It's not just nerds like me doing this anymore. Every drama show on television is up there available for download. That poses a big question for the producers of quality drama. Is commercial television compatible with complex storytelling? I'd say the answer is no. Lost's falling television audience, yet massive online fan base, supports this argument. Take a look at Lostpedia.com. As broadband penetration and file sharing grows, the situation will only get worse. Commercial television is so painful to watch that it's only suited to bite-sized advertisement with little plot or substance. Commercial television is morphing into YouTube, and you can expect the next round of hit shows to be built on free, user-generated content. Think Funniest Home Videos 2.0. The fact that cheap reality television rubbish is time-sensitive makes it practically immune to the BitTorrent effect. Searching IsoHunt for Big Brother or The Biggest Loser turns up only a handful of hits. Why should networks pay for expensive quality drama that few people will watch when they can tap into the river of gold that is reality television? So how will quality drama survive? The answer has to be subscription services, either through pay television or online services such as Apple's iTunes Store. It's no coincidence that many of the best shows on Australian television come from the HBO pay television network in the US, such as The Sopranos, Six Feet Under, and, as much as it pains me to say it, Sex and the City.
The internet offers the ultimate in flexible viewing. When the price is right, the bandwidth is available, and the technology is easy to use, think Apple TV, people will flock to a legitimate television download service. In a race to the bottom to win back the YouTube generation, free-to-air commercial television is cutting its own throat. When Australians can legitimately download Lost and watch it on their television easily, the producers of quality drama will be able to bypass the networks and tell complex stories without interruption. The internet may have killed the television star, but it's also going to save it.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
I think he's definitely the next Debienko from the Green Guide. That's one of the local newspapers here in town. He's but makes some very valid points there. Anyone watch Lost? I don't.
I gave up on it a long time ago, I'm afraid.
Yeah?
Mm.
Do you download it at all? No? I know people. There's people in our office that download it. But I think even he's given up on it.
It's gone a bit too far, yeah.
Yes, but
there's a fine line there for shows to walk because you know, Lost is so convoluted and you never get any answers and it goes on and on and on and on and on. But you know, on other shows where they do wrap up their long-term sort of plot lines and things like that, often when they do, that's the end of the show, and the show doesn't go on anymore. So I'm thinking about Moonlighting Syndrome and.
Look at Gilligan's Island. If they ever got rescued, that was the end of the show, wasn't it?
Well, it would have been, yes.
It's a bit terminal, really, wasn't it? But then again, as involved in production of broadcast television that I am, the attitude these days is to get the content up online as quick as possible because that's where your audience is coming from. Free-to-air television, in particular, is very much becoming a narrowcast as opposed to the internet, which is becoming the broadcast, where anyone anywhere in the world can come along and see and watch and download, providing you've got reasonable bandwidth, because it's a very selfish medium that if you don't have the bandwidth, you can't watch it. Simple as that.
Yeah, so television is going to go through a bit of a change, you reckon? And what we used to watch on television, we're going to watch in the future as video podcasts.
And if I can be brave enough to say that television this time in 12 months will be something that we're not accustomed to. Mm-hmm. It will be a new beast, a new animal. And
like radio changed when television came along, television will change because the internet's come along.
Well, yes, because as of the end of this year, we get multiple channels on digital television, which is something the rest of the world has had for some time.
Yeah.
You know, you look at all the BBC channels in the UK and things like that. You know, they've had it there. That was the enticement to go digital, but we never did it in this country because we had to protect the, you know, the Foxtels of the world and the pay TV services, as we speak of. So, alrighty, let's talk about Goosh. Shall we? Lydia Davis, our birthday girl, listening to us live on the Twit stream, something, whatever she's listening to us on at the moment.
She's sipping coffees and ports.
Is she?
Yes.
What time is it? About 3 in the morning.
It's probably coming up to 4 a.m.
Oh, my goodness me. What are you doing up at this hour of the morning? But she sent us an email saying, here, check this out, Goosh, GOOSH.org.
Now, not everybody that listens to the show is going to get this site. Not everybody's going to understand it, are they?
Maybe not.
It's a pretty geeky, pretty nerdy contribution, Lid, but we're all very impressed down here, I can tell you.
We were.
If you don't know what a bash shell is, then you might not get this site.
I don't expect it to work quite like bash either. I just discovered.
Oh, really? If bash shell is where the magic happens in your life, then this is the site for you.
What was bash shell?
Bash is the shell on
basic shell.
On Linux.
Oh, the bash shell.
Born again shell.
Oh, business. Yes, the tax thing. No.
No.
I've got to do my bass.
The shell in the, you know, the command line in a Linux,
in Unix.
System, yeah.
Okay.
Mm. It's like a text interface where
it is.
You type commands and the computer responds to you.
It's instead of typing in the Google search box, you can actually go and put in a command line, which is where you just type web space Tech Talk Radio.
Think it text based Google.
And I think it's also a very American centric based service. It's on the AmericanGoogle.com, not anywhere else.
I noticed that too. I was comparing search results.
Yes, likewise.
Mm.
But it does everything. It does. It returns video, and it does obviously the traditional web and things like that you would expect on the normal Google search engine. It's just you're talking to the US engine as opposed to. So
you can still click on hyperlinks in the results, and you can go to pages that you get returned to you in the results.
There's no AdWords either. There's no advertising on it. It's very good.
No, that's a good point too. No advertising to confuse you.
And the colours are the same. They look all very familiar. Go and have a try. And you can type help, I think, when you first get there.
You can type LS and you can see all the commands that are available. You can even press your up arrow and you can go back to all your recently typed commands.
It's
very clever. Very clever.
All right. Just moving on, the Australian Defence Force has been granted the ability to communicate with defence personnel anywhere on Earth after the Department of Defence announced operational capabilities of a new $1 billion satellite system. They snuck one up while we weren't watching.
Did they?
They did. Built in conjunction with the US Department of Defence, the Wideband Global Satellite, otherwise known as YGS communication system, will provide global communications coverage, allowing soldiers in the field access to high-quality battlefield pictures, Google Maps, and other intelligence information.
Please tell me the military is not relying on Google Maps to coordinate its troops.
And they've actually put
invade
foreign countries. They've actually put tom-toms in the tanks too, just so you know, Graham.
Oh, good, yes.
I saw it. 200 metres, turn right. This will be what will be happening. One tank will say one thing, the other will say another.
We might laugh at all. This actually was, I saw a police car with Google Maps in, sorry, not Google Maps, a TomTom in it, navigation thing stuck to the windscreen of the car the other day, driving through the streets here in town. I thought, high tech at last. They've actually got mapping systems in their cars now.
Very high tech.
Absolutely. Yes. Anyway, so there you go. The Defence Department managed to get a satellite up. The WGS system will consist of 6 satellites in total, because you want to know how it works. In accordance with the deal set by the previous Howard government, Australia has invested just short of $1 billion to launch one satellite and its associated ground infrastructure, while the US is paying for the other 5. Good deal, John. I don't know how you wrangled that one, but that's not bad. Maybe obviously there's something in it for the American government as well. So, all right, time for a break. When we return, goodness knows what we'll be talking about. But you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Dr. Ron, Graham Callaghan, Andrew Com, and Justin Dunlop.
Compelling.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Judicious.
The question is really whether young people particularly are addicted to being connected to other people all the time.
Historical.
Today is a very important day in Australia's history. This is the day, the 6th of October of 2006, that life in Australia will be changed forever.
Caring.
I know as a parent, I would often say to my children, you've just spoken to this person for 8 hours at school, how can you sit online and chat to them for another 5 hours?
You heard of road rage? What about web rage?
They should be wearing a mask and carrying a gun.
Relations between Telstra and the federal government have been extremely strained almost from the moment Sol Trujillo became chief executive.
Optus have again had quite a good quarter, but its 3G service is very low profile at the moment.
And the Queen's got an iPod.
Eddie's got one.
Yeah.
I wonder what she listens to.
She would probably listen to us.
An unexpectedly high number of voters swamped in the system. Well, what did they expect?
Controversial.
Less attention is paid to the equally interesting question, should journalists blog?
Magical.
And I've got some residual powers.
Ambitious.
High-speed broadband, it's available in most of Asia as well as being in the rest of the world. Let's just make sure that we can get in Australia this year, not next.
Religion.
Talking of the Roman Catholics, I have been on Vatican Radio.
Comedy.
And you put the date on E-Pray, and you get a whole service. Just on that.
How does it go?
It goes...
Insightful, entertaining, and informative. Tech Talk Radio. More than just technology.
It's a strictly rehearsed and finely polished program.
Have you heard something on Tech Talk Radio worth talking about? Are you looking to share your technical dilemmas or opinions with like-minded Tech Talk Radio listeners? Well, now you can. Introducing the Tech Talk Radio web forum. Visit forum.techtalkradio.com.au and join our community. It's free and on a web browser near you. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. Webjet is a online booking agency for aviation in Australia, and they've just joined forces with eBay, providing that there's enough fuel to fly aeroplanes very shortly, and they go to your destinations which you want them to go to.
So does this mean you have to bid on an auction for your seat on the plane?
I don't know. I'll read the press release in a minute and I'll tell you. But it's quite funny, actually, with the increase of fuel prices, which has gone through the roof around the world. We're not exempt here as well, and the airlines have been cutting destinations and reducing their flight capacity.
And my question to anyone who can answer this question is, why are they cutting the Gold Coast out of the equation, both Qantas and, which is our national carrier, and I think Jetstar and Virgin have also dropped services to the Gold Coast.
Have they?
Yes.
To Coolangatta.
Is that where the Gold Coast is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You can tell I've been there before.
Maybe. Or Coolangatta, as some people say.
I just find it interesting that the poor Gold Coastians up there, or Coolangattans,
the Coolangattians,
are copping the. Apparently, everyone, you'll have to fly to Brizzy now and drive down. If that's
it's
how
a nice
it works.
Drive. It's only an hour and a half.
It's an hour or so.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, onward. Online travel agency Webjet has entered into a deal with eBay to supply, distribute, and market hotel rooms through the auction and shopping website. Webjet said the partnership brought together Webjet's access to over 50,000 hotels with eBay's customer database, which totals over 5 million members in Australia. So you can get on there and bid for buy hotel it now rooms. On PayPal. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. And you won't be able to use your credit card. You'll only be able to use your PayPal thing.
Mm.
We haven't heard much more about that, have we? No.
Says he, knowingly.
No, we're doing some background research here. We might have a big story coming up soon about eBay and PayPal.
The ACCC didn't like it too much.
No, they don't like it at all.
So, but wonder why they chose...
Reserved the decision, though.
Yes.
We haven't heard anything official from them yet.
Why do you reckon they chose Australia to do this? Why wouldn't they try different, smaller
markets?
Because they
hope we'd all just fall over and lie down and take it quietly and not kick up a fuss.
Pick the wrong market, eBay.
Well, it's a small market in comparison, I think. If you look at the United States and you look at Europe, look at Asia...
I would have thought there'd been smaller markets. Yeah, like maybe our cousins to the right of us as you look on the globe to New Zealand or something like that.
Maybe it's just a happy medium in terms of this significant or of sufficient traffic there.
Yeah.
But by the same token, it's a small market that's manageable.
I personally don't have a problem with it, but I can see why others would, especially if you've set up a business online on eBay. There are many other alternatives. Who's used Grays online here?
Yeah, I bought off Grays.
What are they like?
The service is good, but there's a buyer's premium that you don't really know about unless you read the fine print and you're used to the place. So it's about 12%, 12.5% on top of the purchase price, goes back to Grays. And on top of that, the shipping prices are pre-quoted, and you have to ship everything from Grays, pretty much their New South Wales office. So for us Melburnians, that means it's expensive.
Okay. But do they have good deals? It's not like eBay, or they have select categories? I've never looked.
They've got a range of categories. It's not as big as eBay is in Australia, but it's certainly growing. But it's based on a traditional market, so they actually have traditional auctions in there as well. So it's an established company that's ventured into the e-space, if you like.
Mm. Okay. No, interesting, because I think eBay does need a bit of competition, because they're turning into probably a Telstra. They've got everyone by the curlies.
Mm.
Sorry, Dr. Ryan.
That's all right. Have Grey's got a real-life auction house?
Yes, they have.
Yes, they do.
Yes, I've been there.
Yeah, I've been there. Down Dandenong Way? Or?
Down in some funny backwater. I'm not sure where it is. I remember driving for miles and miles and miles to get there, but yeah.
I know there's a fairly regular tech auction
in Sandringham.
Yeah, I bought a big 20-inch CRT monitor off them once at an auction.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that the one you still got?
Yeah.
Okay. It cost me still
a
going.
Slab of Grolsch.
Do they trade in beer, do they?
Friend of a friend.
To get it home.
Yeah, pretty much. Friend of a friend got it for me, and that's what it cost me in the end.
Excellent.
It was a bargain. It was about 10 years ago, I think. Still going.
Okay. Intel unveils mini laptop chip. Intel, which is the company which has brought us probably, I know the main rival is AMD when it comes to powering the brains behind your computers. They've unveiled a new processor that it says will change the information technology industry by powering small laptops at low cost, because traditionally microprocessors have been pretty hungry on the juice. Not that that bothers Graham, according to last week's Tech Talk Radio.
Yeah, global warming, bring it on.
Absolutely.
Unquote.
Oh, did I say that?
Yeah, you might have.
Oh.
had a bad week last week.
We'll have to play that at the top of the show as in last week's history highlights. Yes. Intel Asia Pacific Vice President and General Manager Navin Shenoy said the Atom processor will enable millions more people around the world to access the internet. Well, I don't know how processor does that, but nonetheless, you've got to be connected somehow or other. The announcement at the Taiwan Computer Show raises the stakes in Intel's efforts to best rivals like AMD and VIA Technologies in supplying chips for cheap laptops. A version of the Atom can be used in mobile devices like iPhones and tablets that provide a fuller internet experience than mobile phones do. So, looks like we're going to see smaller, less
greenhouse sort of gas emitting, you know, more energy efficient chips in smaller devices, yeah, such as laptops, PDAs,
which
and
which means longer life more than anything.
Good for the batteries.
Mm.
Yeah, well, that's got to be a good thing.
Does your laptop, does it have a blast of warm air coming out one side of it?
Yes.
All the time? Yeah, that's a lot of wasted power in that warm air being blown out the side of your laptop, isn't there?
I don't have to turn the electric blanket on when I use the laptop in bed. It just, you know, shove it underneath the doona there and it's great.
Yeah, not so good in summer.
No, it's very hot and sweaty in summertime. When you wear it, you've got to have something like jeans or put on the table or something like that.
What are you doing with your laptop in bed? It's for sleeping and such things.
Oh, we're a modern family at our place.
Are you?
Yes, we have a laptop each, and when we rather than watch television, because we're those people that have drifted away from commercial television, we sit up there and we, you know, check your emails and you send emails to people. That's what you do before you go to
sleep. You and Mrs. Andrew sit up there with his and hers laptops.
Yeah, but she's got Vista. I've got XP.
Send an email. I'm going to sleep now, dear. Good night, dear. Good night, dear.
It would be an instant message, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It would, yes. I can't talk, really. That happens in our house, too.
Well, I reckon it happens in a lot of houses, especially to the listeners on this show.
Yes, quite.
There'll be people out there that'll be emailing, going, oh, I'll do that. Yeah, send us your funny story. Maybe we'll do that for the next Maxtor competition. Tell us how you communicate electronically with
your
better half.
You're not alone. You're connected to a big family. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. What else? Australia's
Radio Marriage Counselling. If you go to, well, register at the moment. Sorry, yep, go on.
Okay, you're thinking aloud over there. Okay. Australia's first voice over IP online directory service launched. Haven't seen this, but I'm thinking potentially it's a good idea, but I could imagine they wouldn't have a huge database at the moment. But FreeConnect web-based directory service connecting businesses to consumers. So you go there and you put your surf to the customer that you want and click the VoIP button and talk to them via an online directory. This is a new service directory which is dubbed FreeConnect, and it was launched last week, claiming to be Australia's first online voice over IP directory services. FreeConnect is a free portal for businesses to connect with potential customers via telephone, email, SMS and voice over IP. The service allows businesses to post contact and service information, photographs and payment options and a company history. So it's a bit of another thing like Google's doing with maps. I like maps. Have you seen Google Maps where you actually search for an address and it puts a pin in the map and gives you all the relevant company information? I think that's terrific.
It's quite clever.
And then people can then cut and paste that and put it on their website. So it's terrific. But there you go. There's a voice over IP one. What do you reckon, Dr. Ron? Got uses?
Yeah, could have. I'll have to see it in action.
I think it might be a bit before its time.
Yeah.
It still freaks me out. We've got voice over IP at home. It still freaks me out when it rings with a wrong number. I can't get my head around that. I don't know why it should be any different to any other phone number, but I'm used to people using internet technology, and you don't get an email for the wrong person.
Yes, you do.
Oh, I don't.
I get tens of thousands every month.
Yeah, well, spam mail, yeah. Well.
That's not me.
No.
I don't know why you'd have a directory specifically for voice over IP.
I was wondering that, yeah.
Yeah, voice over IP to me is a mechanism that you use to communicate. It's not something that you would specifically...
So is this a flawed idea then?
What are your thoughts, Graham?
They're trying to beat census to it, are they?
I don't know. It might be for... I don't know. I'd have to have a look and see what it's all about.
See what works.
Maybe it's for services like Skype and so on, where maybe you don't have an external, you know, standard phone number.
Potentially.
Mm.
And it provides an interface into that network for you.
Yeah.
We'll have to have a look at it.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about WiMAX and Linux and Acer.
You're listening, Talk.
Any questions? You're all speechless at this.
No, it's not listening.
You're listening.
You've got the world's most aggressive spam filter.
You're listening.
If you've got the wrong SIM card, it's because they sold you the wrong thing.
Talk radio.
You may have digressed.
The network's probably ready for fiber to the node now.
Telstra has lost the ACCC court case.
They download loss because they can't stand watching it on commercial television.
You're listening to Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
And welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. Sorry.
What's going on over there?
Yes, we've got Dr. Ron's over my side of the panel. Oh, health! Oh, dear. No, we're just...
Nothing to see. Face to the front.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Oh, my goodness me. Where were we before we were so interestingly there?
Well, we've got Andrew following people on Twitter.
Just sort of.
Yeah. Almost, oh, well done.
Almost.
Yeah. It was a battle.
Yeah, well, it is Twitter, isn't it?
I remember being a bit baffled by it when I signed up and tried it out the other week. Yeah.
It's not intuitive, is it?
No.
It's like, what do you want all this information for? I'm entering passwords that you don't need to know. And
Gmail
like
account information.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. There's some interesting email. Speaking of people sending us emails, Jeff Dudley wanted to know what the deal was with PowerWeb. Well, basically, we gave up. We did get some form of email that came back, which sort of fell off the radar, and I just sort of gave up with them. They were an ISP that used to host our podcasts, and I say used to host our podcasts. They decided to turn us off for no apparent reason one day, and people couldn't get the podcast from the show, so we had to move it, and we sent them an email saying, please explain, and they just fell silent, and we got nowhere far. So, as a result, gave up on PowerWeb as a bad joke. Their personal dealings with customers is sadly lacking. So,
they get a bit rude of them. They just decided to disable our account.
They turned it back on again, but we don't use it anymore because we moved it within about half an hour or so of them. Everyone here was quick, massively upload to this site as we went to the Bluehost.
Well, we can't run the risk, and especially, if you're running a business and you're relying on the provision of your service to run a business.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't have somebody just willy-nilly turning your service on.
Not even a warning email or anything like that.
So very rude.
Shut it straight back. So there you go, GD. That was the upshot of that. Another email in from Bob Graydon, who's in WA from Recollection. Hi, guys. Expletive eBay. My wife is addicted to it and buys so much rubbish on it. eBay is everywhere. Walk up onto a computer terminal at work. What do you find open? Yes, eBay. We certainly need an effective alternative. Regards, Bob from Perth. There you go. Hi, Bob from Perth.
So Bob will be happy with eBay limiting the ways in which payments can be made.
Potentially, but then again, you can still make payments, can't you? What was the last thing you bought on eBay, Dr. Ryan?
An external hard drive.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought you'd had enough of those.
No, this is one that works, that's useful. It's a Western Digital Elements drive, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, a 320-gig drive I bought a few months ago.
What do you keep on that?
I just use it for audio and video, just big, big, big files.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. Speaking of hard drives, did you know, I read during the week, I didn't bring it in tonight, but did you know that Western Digital has just released 2 terabytes?
2 terabytes?
Yes. And they're on 2 platters, which means you can raid them up all by themselves as 2 1-gigabyte RAID arrays.
Oh, okay.
1 terabyte RAID arrays. That's scary. Defeats the purpose, really, if you're mirroring things.
Yeah. So both your disks are in the same drive.
They're in the same physical hardware. It's...
Not sure that covers all the bases.
One would hope it's got separate heads and they're not on the same mechanism, but they move independently. Otherwise, there's no point.
Yeah, absolutely. But you can also stripe them, I suspect, too, as you can any RAID array, and use them as 2 terabytes. Then buy another one and then RAID mirror those.
You can RAID them for performance rather than for redundancy, yeah.
WiMAX to enable full mobile internet. According to IT News, wide area WiMAX wireless network will be ushered in a new era of full internet connectivity on mobile devices, according to a senior executive. Sean Maloney, Executive Vice President and General Manufacturer for Sales and Marketing at Intel, said during the opening keynote at Computex in Taipei that individuals, not households, will drive the next era of internet growth. So WiMAX is coming soon. Despite the fact that the Australian government...
To mobile devices.
Yeah. Despite the fact that the Australian government decided to shelve the Singtel or Opel. Consortium's WiMAX rollout. So, I don't know. Is it going to work? Or is it just a... I think it's like becoming has-been technology now, hasn't it?
We're just starting to come to terms with Wi-Fi being included in mobile devices. Some of the new Nokia phones have now got Wi-Fi in them. We've got PDAs that have got Wi-Fi in them, and people are just starting to come to terms with that technology, I reckon. But now WiMAX is going to be available as well.
Yeah. Are there networks around that we can connect to, or...?
I don't think so yet, are there?
Not here.
No.
In some places overseas,
maybe
perhaps.
In continental USA and those sort of places, you might find some WiMAX networks, because that's where they're developing all their technology for over there. But, Maloney claimed that the emergence of the ultra-mobile PC notebook category will make 2008 the first year that mobile computing devices will outsell desktop computers. Now, there's a turn for the worm. There's a turn. So you'll find that we'll be selling more PDAs, more Palmy things. I know. Did you ever buy Palm? You've got a thing like that, haven't you? Dr. Ron says he'd look.
I've got an iMate PDA.
Does it work for you?
Yeah, it works very well.
What would it be like if you could... Because you're using the third generation technology on that, aren't you?
I am. It's not the HSDPA technology, but it's just the... the first incarnation of 3G.
But see, in this country, in Australia, why wouldn't you go for a network which is already built and running, a third generation mobile technology, it doesn't matter which carrier you use, but pull your data in that way rather than go this WiMAX option, which is...
As Graham was saying, have we got anything to connect it to at the moment in Melbourne? The answer is I don't know.
Okay. Now, you boys, Linux. You're all Linux heads except for the man sitting on my far left.
Actually, Graham and I started playing with Linux at the same time.
Okay, withdraw that.
A lot of Linux experience this side of the desk.
That's good. None on this side. None on this side. That's what I'm going to ask you. Acer has stated that it will be publishing Linux aggressively on its laptops and netbooks. Good. Whatever a netbook is. I'm wondering if that's a typo or not. But anyway, the company has already heavily promoted Linux for its low-cost, ultra-portable netbook range out this year. But senior staff have said that Acer will also publish Linux on its laptops.
The idea being you boot straight into an inbuilt Linux. It'll boot up in a couple of seconds, and you can browse the web and check your email.
Oh, that's that one.
Yeah.
I was reading about
that. Is that what a netbook is, it? So you learn something every day here.
Yeah, it still has a hard drive, so you can still boot it into XP or Vista or whatever else you want to install, but it's slower, obviously, because it takes a while to boot. But the idea is embedded Linux, so you can just get up, surf the web, turn it off again, go back to bed, whatever.
Yeah, now this seemed like a really good idea to me. So if all you're wanting to do is use it as a web browser or perhaps an instant messaging client or something like that, it's all there. It's just straightforward. You don't have to worry about security on your Windows system or anything like that. Just away you go.
Okay. Acer sees two killer apps with Linux on computers, operation and cost. Its flavor of Linux will boot in 15 seconds. Compared to minutes for Windows, and the open source operating system can extend battery life from 5 to 7 hours. That's pretty good. So it's got a lot going for it, really, hasn't it? Well, I'm excited about this.
Because it's running off a flash drive instead of a hard drive. That'll be why it's running longer.
And Linux isn't as heavy as some of the other operating systems, is it? It's quite compact.
It depends what you do with it, yeah. Yeah, it can be stripped down to be very light, which is one of the things they're doing here. So, but it can be as full-featured and as heavy as any other operating system.
Oh, okay. Well, watch this space. That's got my enthusiastic attention now. I'm going to have to see what a netbook's like and how it works. I wonder if there'll be some devices out in the not... Well, obviously this year there will be. So
we'll pull you over to the dark side yet. You'll be sitting on this side of the panel before you know it.
Look, yes. I'm more than happy to give it a bash. I just wish I had a few moments of the day to actually do something.
Yeah, well, there's ways to do this on ordinary PCs because you can download what are called live CDs. You just boot straight off a CD, straight into Linux and do this sort of thing, and you don't have to install Linux on your own on your PC. So you can give it a bit of a try out that way.
You don't have to interfere with it.
Look for a live CD on your Linux distribution page.
Okay.
If you want to try it out, you're not having to interfere with the existing operating system, which is installed on the hard disk in your laptop.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, before we take a break, just a reminder, our competition for our 1 terabyte hard drive concludes. It'll be drawn this time next week, so you can tune in and find out who the winner is. But that means you've got a week to get your name into the draw. And you've got to be in it to win it, so rock on to the Tech Talk Radio website, techtalkradio.com.au. Enter your details, and you never know. You might end up with a 1 terabyte little number in your collection, which I think would be very handy. Especially if you're using floppy disks.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Have you heard something on Tech Talk Radio worth talking about? Are you looking to share your technical dilemmas or opinions with like-minded Tech Talk Radio listeners? Well, now you can. Introducing the Tech Talk Radio web forum. Visit forum.techtalkradio.com.au and join our community. It's free and on a web browser near you. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Did you know that analysts are predicting a bright future for Bluetooth? Do you use Bluetooth much, or do you turn it off because it wastes too much battery? Graham, wouldn't he? Likes burning energy, left, right, and centre.
I use it all the time in my car.
Do you?
Yeah, the phone talks to the car kit in the car, yeah.
To the GPS?
No, just to the... the car kit for the phone calls for voice.
Okay. Well, apparently it's doing just dandy. Bluetooth, according to, almost 2.4 billion units of Bluetooth-enabled equipment will be shipped worldwide in 2013. New researchers have come to the conclusion. I don't know why they look that far in advance. Maybe they're planning on some... acquisition of some terra firma like Google are.
But I own a lot of Bluetooth-enabled stuff, and it's just turned off.
Yeah, likewise. That's why I found this interesting, so I thought I'd
talk
about it.
I'll tell you another thing I use with Bluetooth. I've got a Bluetooth mouse that I use with my notebook, which means I don't have to... I've got a wireless mouse that I don't have to plug in an extra receiver, because my notebook's got Bluetooth in it already.
I do like
I don't
like
have
that.
To plug in a receiver.
I like my wireless mouse.
Mm. Admittedly, at work, we've got three machines that are Bluetooth-enabled, and we've got keyboards that operate from about 20 metres away, which is fantastic,
yep.
without needing lots of cable.
Yeah, it's good for that sort
How
of
fast
stuff.
How fast does Bluetooth go? Like, it's not a really high-speed protocol, is it?
Fast enough.
It's fast enough. There's a bit of a lag on a keyboard, I've noticed.
Is there?
Mm.
Gee, you must be typing fast.
Maybe.
I've got a wireless keyboard and mouse at home, but I don't think they're Bluetooth. I think they're UHF.
I think you've got the Microsoft ones?
Yes.
I've got a feeling they're 27 megahertz.
Oh, they really?
Yeah.
Oh. Down in the old CB band.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Because I have good use for the CB band. Broad data. It's completely obliterated.
Anyway, so Bluetooth, it's obviously they're not planning on phasing it out anytime soon.
Wouldn't
and,
so.
The
best thing since infrared, you don't use infrared for anything these days,
no.
do you?
Only turning the telly on.
Telly on and off. Yeah, but for sending contact cards and calendars and funny photos and things.
Speaking of TVs on and off, who's got multiple remote controls that does that in the house with the volume? Do you have volume wars with your other half?
No, my parents do. I think Mark Higgins' parents used to as well. I remember he used to rant and rave about them having volume wars with the redundant remote controls.
I've got Sony TVs in adjacent rooms, and yes, you control one in one room and you accidentally control the one in the other room as well.
If I can share something really silly with you.
To start wars?
Yeah. It really does.
If I look outside the window at our house, I can see the neighbour's television in the other room.
No. Oh, yeah.
I can actually turn the television on and change the channel to my remote control from my house.
It's a good effort.
Oh, that's really
It's
good.
Very funny. It's a bit like Steve Wozniak when he used to do it. Steve Wozniak, when he was the founder of Apple, he used to do that over at Harvard or whichever was the institution that he used to go to there in California when he was a young boy.
There's a CNET story about some of their reporters doing something similar at an expo not long ago. So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excellent.
Has your TV be gone?
It's still in the car. I use it on the odd occasion when it's all else fails.
This was a gadget of the week many years ago, I think.
I know.
It's a little keyring-sized device with one single button on it, and the button is labelled off.
It works in reverse too. It turns it on thing as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, you can point it at any television, and it cycles through all the off codes.
Yes.
And infrared. And,
and give it 30
press
seconds.
Press the button, hold
are.
It still, give it 30 seconds, and it'll turn the television off at 5 paces.
Really handy if you go into those betting arenas.
Crown Casino, I think, took out about 13 monitors at
you
the sports
one.
Bar.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Good
iTunes.
Times. Phone
iTunes.
Games.
Can I mention iTunes?
You should.
You're not going to turn into a cowering mess on the phone and going, damn you, iTunes.
Damn iTunes. No, what's happened now?
Students in Australia and New Zealand will now be able to take the classroom anywhere with the adoption of Apple's iTunes U at 7 universities in the region. I've never heard of this, but maybe this has got something going for it.
I've got it up and running right now.
Have you? Mm. What's it all about? iTunes U makes audio and video curriculum for lecturers available for students to sync with their iPods, iPhones, so they can carry learning material anywhere they go and use them at their own time. Does this mean you can miss your lecture and just suck it down on iTunes?
Well, ultimately,
you know
I think
what it means?
Ultimately, I think it does.
Does this mean students will not be students anymore? They can do it all on remote? I'll just get the latest lecture while you're
on
the train or tram
on the
way
home. Someone's notes once upon a time. But,
oh, yes.
So I was just having a quick look under the iTunes store. When you go to the iTunes Australian store, you can select iTunes U. That's the method into getting it. And there's a whole lot of Australian unis that are signed up as new. There's Swinburne, there's the University of Melbourne, New South Wales, Australian National University, probably a heap of other that I've missed. Having a quick look, there's lectures there from Melbourne Uni, my alma mater, for about an hour or so. There's a short number of videos running for between 5 and 7 minutes.
Wow.
All free.
Are these delivered via the podcast sort of mechanism? They turn up as podcasts on your iPod?
I did download one from a US site a long time ago, and I can't remember, to be quite honest, okay. where they come down. But it's
because I've got
like
a gripe about iTunes and the iPod and podcasts
mm-hmm.
in that it plays them in the wrong order. It plays the newest one first, then the second newest, and then the third newest, and then plays the oldest one last. So it plays them in reverse order.
Isn't that configurable?
I can't find the configuration if it is. It's driving me mad.
Really?
Because I like to listen to podcasts in order, so I have to manually, if I've got six episodes that I haven't listened to,
this is why
I have to go to number six, and then I go to number five. When it's finished playing number five, it plays number six again.
Is this why Adam carries on and says, can you identify your podcasts?
Yeah, possibly,
don't
yeah.
Know why it is.
Yeah.
I didn't know, because I'm not an iTunes sort of person-y sort of thing.
Especially if you've got a little, little
shuffle?
Yep. Yeah, there's no display on it. You don't know what is the name of the file that you're playing.
I'm being hunted down on Twitter.
Yeah, you will be. You'll be hunted down like a wild animal, like a wildebeest.
I don't know. Is this good, bad, or indifferent?
I have to make a decision.
Okay. Hey, listen, because Lyd wants to go to bed, we've got to go to the break and come back with the website gadget and the odd spot of the week.
Lyd tells us there's nothing wrong with having a laptop in bed, mind you. She tells me.
Keeps your knees warm, doesn't it?
Recently on Tech Talk Radio, we heard Ben-Hur Castro from Seagate in the United States talk about the new generation of portable hard drives, which not only backs up your files with the push of a button, it also password protects the contents of your drive. Not only does the Maxtor OneTouch 4 Plus provide backups, data storage and protection for your files, it also protects your entire computer system in case of disaster. Now for the good news. Thanks to Maxtor, Tech Talk Radio has a 1 terabyte version of the OneTouch to give away to a lucky Tech Talk Radio listener. Anywhere in the world, valued at $299. All you have to do is visit the Tech Talk Radio website and tell us in a few short words why you need 1 terabyte of storage. How easy is that? We'll announce the winner on air on Monday the 16th of June. So what are you waiting for? Visit techtalkradio.com.au right now and you could be the proud owner of a 1 terabyte OneTouch portable hard drive.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! Oh, Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Son of a...
I'm all bitter and twisted. I'm going to defongrate myself
now.
That's better.
This week's gadget is
you
the...
You tangle your leads up in your headphones, the sound comes out all squashed, did you know?
Yeah, well, this wouldn't surprise me.
Sounds a bit thin. It's not like you're listening to an MP3, so keep your headphone lead straight.
TARDIS, a word of TARDIS 3 says, the glitch with the podcast... I know we're supposed to be doing a gadget, but just bear with me. The glitch with the podcast order in iPods has been there for ages. Damn annoying.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Fix it, Apple.
Fix it, Apple. Fix it. The gadget of the week, the HTC Touch Diamond PDA 3G smartphone. This was recently reviewed by Gadget Zone, and a lot of people are watching this eagerly. The Touch Diamond is intended to compete directly with Apple's new iPhone.
That's the one I was actually looking at if the iPhone didn't come out here.
Were you? Were you looking at picking one up?
Well, I use a HTC now.
Yes.
An iMate, an earlier version of the one you have.
Yes.
And I've seen the Touch.
Well, the new Touch Diamond supports HSDPA, which you'd hope.
High-speed download packet access.
And tri-band GSM for those occasions when you're roaming.
So not quad-band?
Tri-band's still pretty good, isn't it? Could do a lot worse. It has a 640 by 480 screen resolution that uses touch controls.
To do 850 meg, that's the one you want for next G.
I'd have to take that on advisement. We'll have a look.
Okay.
It uses touch controls to flip through menus and icons. It runs Windows Mobile 6.1 Professional, Graham is immediately offside.
Mm-hmm.
I am too a bit, I must confess. 4 gig of onboard storage, as well as a micro SD card slot. GPS support. Wi-Fi 802.11b and G, a 3.2 megapixel camera with autofocus, and a built-in accelerometer so it detects if your screen is being viewed voidically or horizontally.
Oh, very good. My digital camera does that. What's it called?
Very clever. The accelerometer, or the thing we're talking about. It's an HTC Touch Diamond PDA 3G smartphone. No pricing or release date for Australia yet has been announced, but keep an eye out on the website, htc.com.
Here it is, everybody! The world's greatest website!
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
We've been speaking a lot about Twitter tonight, which is the social networking system. We have got a website called Twidict, which is a contraction, I think, of Twitter addict. It's twiddict.com. If Twitter's down and it's not working, this is like a store and forward site, so you can tweet to your heart's content, and when the real Twitter system comes back up online, Twidict will forward all of your tweets. If this makes no sense to you,
Twitter messages that are really that urgent?
all of them are that urgent.
Okay.
All of them. But it looks like an interesting little site.
So I disagree. Hang on, Adam's just sent another email.
Andrew's not convinced.
Come on, TTR 2008 if you want to... hello, what does Adam say? I still like email. Does that make me an old fogey?
It does.
Probably.
Email's dead. Long live social networking. Andrew, have you checked the SMS tonight?
No.
No. We need a media centre here, don't we? A communications room just to keep track of all this stuff. The website of the week, twidict.com.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Shoot. Missed it by that much.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Houston, we have a problem.
The Oddsbody on Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, you technical boffins, is there anything that cable ties can't do?
No. Well, I know lots of people have uses for them. Some good, some not so.
Technical boffins love cable ties.
They're not so ultraviolet friendly, though.
No, if you put them outside, no. Up the towers a must. A man has been charged for driving a car held together by cable ties at 263 kilometres per hour. Police say a patrol spotted the car speeding on the Hume Highway.
Which is here.
The main highway connecting Melbourne and Sydney, yeah. Near Mittagong in southeast New South Wales, around 8 p.m. on Wednesday some weeks ago. When police stopped the vehicle, they found the car's body was held together with cable ties and the battery was held in place with a rag and a bracket. Instead of seats, the back of the car was filled with tires, and police say they smelled a strong odour of fuel. A 21-year-old man from Rouse Hill has been charged with driving at a dangerous speed. Police say the man told him he had spent the day at the racetrack. He will appear at Mossvale local court on June 16.
Yep. But the blue tack on the fuel tank is probably starting to wear away.
Do you like that one?
Yeah. Oh,
it's very good. Cable ties.
Basic welding.
Ah, yeah. Well, I think...
tape holds the universe together.
Amazing what you can do with cable ties. All right, you've been listening to Tech Talk Radio. Dr. Ron, Graham Callaghan, JD, Andrew McComb.
The virtual eyelid.
A million and one people communicating with us via all method of technology this evening. In fact, so much technology that we've forgot to look at the SMS. Thank you, Dr. Ron. Okay, join us next week. Don't forget the competition next week. You've got to get your entries in if you want this... Maxtor One Touch, a terabyte of hard drive for your collection.
You can't submit like from the time we start next week.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. It's all over.
We'll cut your name out and put in the draw for the
thingy-bob. So get them in.
All right. Thanks for that. We'll catch you same time, same radio station, wherever you might be listening to us around the country or on the stream. Till next week. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT, and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron Hanlis, Graham Callaghan and Mark Diggins, expert opinion Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC. The crew wish to thank all the stations that take the show, including 3WBC and 3XX in Melbourne, Cairns FM, Switch 1197 in Brisbane, 95.3 Huon FM in Tasmania, Queer FM in WA, and Stop and Go Radio in the United States. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 9018 9043 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.